Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Good evening and welcome to the Tattered Cover. I want to thank you all for coming tonight, and also thank you for your support of Tattered Cover and other independent bookstores around the country. We appreciate it. Well, as you are and as I am, we're all thrilled tonight to have Norwegian author Joe Nesbø here with his new book, Phantom. Joe Nesbø has won international acclaim for his crime novels centering around Detective Harry Hole, and his previous books include Redbreast, Nemesis, The Devil's Star, The Snowman, and The Leopard. He has also written an amusing Dr. Proctor series for children, as well as a standalone mystery, Headhunters, that was made into a film in Norway and released to U.S. film festivals this past spring. Joe Nesbø's books have been translated into 47 languages and have won a long, long list of awards, including the Glass Key Award for Best Nordic Crime Novel. And just so you don't think all he does is write, he is also a popular musician, a songwriter, and an economist. Will you please help me welcome Joe Nesbø?
They gave me a chair because I went rock climbing some days ago, actually some weeks ago in Minnesota, and I pulled a muscle in my back, and right now I've been sitting on an airport because they sent me on a they tried to send me this morning from Washington here, but they sent me to the wrong airport. So I've been sitting on an airport today and waited to get to Denver. But finally, I'm here. I was actually hoping to get here early this morning because that was my original plan, because I have some friends in Boulder, and I understand there's great rock climbing there. Yeah. Anyway, I thought that maybe I'm just going to tell you, spend 20 minutes tell you how I came to write. And afterwards, you can ask me questions about anything, really, about me and my personal life, or preferably about Harry and Harry's personal life. I grew up in a family where there were books everywhere. My mother was a librarian, and my father was a book reader, so, you know, there would be books in every room, and I started reading at a young age, probably because my father grew up in Brooklyn, New York. He brought back American books, and I think my favorite was probably Mark Twain and, you know, Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer when I grew up. But the first book that I picked from my parents' shelf was a book that it was on the third shelf, and I'd looked at that book for a long time, and it was Lord of the Flies, William Golding. I didn't know he was a Nobel Prize winner. My father, who had to read the book for me, he thought I picked that book because of the blurb on the backside of the book that said it was about some children on a deserted island trying to survive. And but the real reason was the cover of the book, which was a pig's head on a stake. And according to my father, after he had read the book to me and he asked me for, you know, what I thought about the book, I said that I think it was okay, but a little slow-paced, and and that I believe that this guy William Golding could probably do better. So, but I saw some talent there, so I was sure he was going to write a better book the next time. I'm not 100% sure that's what I said, but my father, he would always tell, you know, tall tales like that. He would actually, but I'd say that, me and my brothers, we became storytellers because of my father. He would always sit at the dinner table and tell stories, and we knew that 8 out of 10 of those stories were exaggerations, and 2 of them would be, you know, write out lies. And but whenever we called him lying, he would refer to a German scientist called Sepp Windler, who in 1968, according to my father, won the Nobel Prize for research where it proved that in families where they lie on a regular basis, the average lifespan is 7 years longer than in, than in other families. I started writing poems, short stories, and I wrote essays. I really liked the essays, you know, that we had at school. I think you probably have the same thing here, that you write essays in school, yeah, and they give you titles that you have to stick to those titles, lame titles like A Nice Day in the Woods or something, right? Yeah, and I would write about A Nice Day in the Woods, only in my essays nobody would come back home alive. At the age, when I got a little older, all my friends started to play in bands, and I didn't play an instrument, and I didn't write songs, but I would write the lyrics for them. I played soccer for a team called Molde, which actually last week won the Norwegian equivalent to the Premier League, and I played for Molde at the age of 17. I played my first match for the senior team, and my dream and my goal, which at least to me seemed realistic at the time, was to become a professional football player and play for Tottenham Hotspur in London. But at the age of 19, I broke the ligaments in both knees, so I had to come up with a plan B. But I didn't really have a plan B. And I, so what do you do when you don't know what you want to do with your life? You, study business administration. And, and so I did. Before I went to college to study, I did 2 years, in the Air Force. The military is mandatory in Norway. And, during that time, I had started to play a little guitar. It was a friend of mine who had a guitar, and I borrowed that guitar. I think I probably knew two chords plus a couple of chords that I had made up myself. And but the first day in college, a guy walked into the cantina, and he says, I'm starting a band, and I wonder, is there anybody here who can play the guitar? And so I raised my hand and said, sure, I can play the guitar. And he asked me, how many chords do you know? And I lied and I said, I know 3 chords. And but I was in the band. And after I had finished studying in Bergen, I moved back to Oslo. And I started another band together with my brother and 2 other friends. And we would get gigs right away because our bass player, he worked in the bar. And so he asked the boss if we could play there for free. They don't usually had live bands, but we would play there every weekend for free or for free beer. And we were so bad that that we would actually change the name of the band every week in order to have people come back. At the same time, I was working as a stockbroker and a financial analyst. But it was a really, you know, it was a nice combination. After 2 years, we started getting better, and people started asking for the band, you know. And since we didn't have a name, they would say, are those guys going to play next week? And we figured that since we didn't have a name, we might as well call us those guys, or D-Dare, as it's called in Molde. And it was also a plan behind that, because our drummer, he worked in a record store, and he told us about all his customers that would come in, and they didn't remember the name of the band or the album. And so they would ask, you know, do you have that album with those guys? And so our plan was to record an album called An Album with Those Guys. After 3 years, we actually was offered a record deal, actually by two record companies. We did record an album with that name, but it didn't sell as much as we had hoped, nor the record company, I guess. But then with our second album, suddenly we had two big hits and we were the best-selling band in Norway. And our lives changed, because up till then we had only played weekends, but now we played, in 1 year, we played 180 gigs traveling all over Norway. By that time, all the other guys in the band, they were full-time musicians. But I, in spite of being the songwriter and the singer in the band, I sort of decided that I didn't want the music to pay my rent. Music had always been for me, you know, something I did because I wanted to play, and it I didn't want it to feel like work. So I insisted on keeping my job as a stockbroker, which was in many ways stupid, because my day would more or less be like this. I would be in my office when the stock exchange was open, then at 4 o'clock, when I could hear the bell at the stock exchange, and it closed, I would grab my bag, run into the street, get a cab, go to the airport, and a plane would take me to wherever my band was at that time. They were traveling in the bus. They had probably finished the sound check, but I would hopefully be there in time for the gig. And after the gig, the rest of the guys, they would go to a party with some beautiful blonde girls, of course. And I would head back to the hotel, get some hours sleep, take the first plane back to Oslo, hopefully get there in time for when the stock exchange opened, work there until I heard the bell at 4 o'clock, grab my bag, run into the street, get a cab back to the airport. So after a year with that kind of lifestyle, I was more or less burned out. So I told my band that I needed a long vacation, that I didn't want to go touring again for a long time. And I told my boss at the brokerage firm that I needed a long vacation. And so I had been for some time nurturing the idea of writing a novel. And the reason for that was also that I'd been asked by a girl who worked at the publishing house, a girl I knew from college. She had asked me to write a book about the band. And I said that I won't write about the band because, you know, what happens on the road stays on the road. But I may write something else. So if you're interested, I can send that to you. Well, the reason they asked me was that they liked the lyrics that I had written for my band, so they figured I could write. So they say, okay, send us anything you write and we'll look at it. So I took a long vacation. I went to Australia. It takes about 30 hours to fly from Oslo to Sydney. And during those 30 hours, I planned my first novel. That was featuring Harry Hole. Harry Hole I didn't, you know, see him clearly. I didn't know him that well before I started writing the first novel. It was just based on the name, which was a combination of Harry, who was my childhood hero, a local football player at Molde, and Hole, as it's pronounced in Norwegian, Hole, who was the local police officer where my grandmother lived. It was a small village, and me and my brother, we used to spend our summer holidays there. And when we went there, she would always say that if you're not home and in bed by 8 o'clock, then Hole will come get you. So I would always imagine this tall, big, blonde, scary guy. And I never saw him. Or actually, I did see him some years ago. I was back in my grandmother's village, and this tiny old man. He was, you know, must have been 19 years old, and he was, you know, bent over, and he came up to me. He probably knew who I was, and so he stared down at me with his cold blue eyes and gave me his bony hand and said, "I'm Hole." And actually, he was quite scary, and my first thought was that, well, it's not 8 o'clock yet. But those were sort of the two characters I had in mind when I started writing about Harry. And when I got to Sydney, I checked into my hotel. I was jet-lagged. So I started writing straight away, although it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And I wrote about Harry Hole, checking into the same hotel in Sydney where I was staying. And for the next 5 weeks, me and Harry, we would sort of follow in each other's footsteps. I spent most of those 5 weeks that I had planned, you know, to go and see Australia. I spent most of those 5 weeks in a small, dark hotel room in the red light district in Sydney. Because I had just, you know, discovered the joy of writing a novel. So I would literally just, you know, when I had to take breaks to get something to eat, I would literally run from my hotel room to the nearest restaurant, grab something to eat, and then run back. That was, you know, how just caught up in the story I was, and also in the process of writing. So I was pretty sure it wouldn't get published. I chose to write a crime novel just because, you know, I had 5 weeks. So I figured, what can you get done in 5 weeks? Well, you can probably write a crime novel in 5 weeks. I got back to Oslo. I sent the script to a publishing house. I used a pseudonym for the script because I didn't want the publishing house to just because, you know, I was a singer in a popular band in Norway. I didn't want them to use that as an excuse to publish a bad book. And then I went back to the brokerage firm, and I can remember the day when the first day I pushed the button for the, you know, these old-fashioned computers that took some time before the screen would light up. And I was sitting there and waiting to, you know, read the dollar rate, the Dow Jones Nikkei index, the stuff that you needed as a stockbroker. And I realized that I didn't have time to do this any longer. And my father had died 2 years before, and he died in his first year of retirement. And he had always planned to write his first novel when he went into retirement. He never had the time to do that. So I was sitting there and I was realizing that this is something that I have to do now. I had, you know, I owned my own apartment I guess it's in Norway like it is here, that you are substantially overpaid as a stockbroker. So I knew that I didn't have to make money for at least 10 years. I could probably, you know, write something. I could work as a freelance journalist while writing novels. So I went to my boss before the screen had lit up, and I told him that I have to quit. It's been nice working here, but I don't have time for this. And 3 weeks later, I got a phone from the publishing house, and they told me that they were interested in the script and if I could come over and have a talk with them. And of course I did. I went into an office where there were three old men sitting, and they realized that the name on the script wasn't my real name. So they asked me why I'd used a pseudonym. And I said, well, it's because I'm Joan Esper in Those Guys in the Didare. And none of them had heard about neither Joan Esper nor nor Didare. So this was in 1997, and the book, which was the first in the series about Harry Hole, was published under the name The Batman. It's just been translated. We had to use the name The Bat here in or in US and UK and Canada for obvious reasons. But it's based on an Aboriginal myth about this half man, half bat that lives inside the trunk in the dream time that the Aboriginals calls it. And it's a very interesting parallel story to the Christian story about Adam and Eve, because there's also in Aboriginal mythology, it's the woman that sort of breaks the only rule, and that is to not go near that tree and wake up the Batman. But she goes there and to collect wood, and then she sees that there's honey dripping from the tree, and so she goes to the tree and shakes the tree to make the more of the honey drip down, and she wakes up the Batman, and he flies up from the trunk and into the sky, and from that day on death is introduced. That was the background for that was sort of the that Aboriginal myth and a couple of other Aboriginal legends that I found in the Australian Museum were the inspiration and sort of the backbone for that novel. And it didn't sell very well, but it received a couple of important prizes and was well received by the critics. So I continued with the series. I wrote the second novel. It didn't sell very well, and it won no prizes. It's probably been the same in all the countries where I've introduced the Harry Hole series. It's been a slow burner. It's never been an overnight success anywhere. It wasn't until the third novel in Norway that I had sort of a breakthrough. And it was number one in Norway. In UK, The Snowman, which is the seventh book in the series, went number one, I think, 2 years ago. And then everybody asked me, congratulations with this, sudden success. And I had to explain to them that, I've been around here for nearly 10 years. So that's how the series has been going. Thank you so much.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fote, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Stay pod-tuned in the coming weeks as we podcast Authors on Tour.